Well, as you know, we are working on a series, but before I introduce the series, I want to just give you a little bit of an update on where everything is with the mission trip. As many of you know, I flew back last night and got back today early from the rest of the team. The rest of the team is about to board the plane in Phoenix, so they'll be back around 5 o'clock today. It's a four-hour flight, so it's a long flight. And of course, that means getting past people to go to the restroom right on a plane. That's always fun. But do pray for them as they're returning to us. That's always a long day when you're traveling. And there's been a lot of sickness in the team this past week. Some of them are just recovering from that. So it's going to be a very long day for everybody. That's why I didn't go around today, because I'm not sure just how contagious I could be from anything that I brought. So I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad I didn't share whatever I might be carrying. But God bless you. I washed thoroughly and put antiseptic on my hands and everything, but I still worry about what you might pass around. But we are going through a series about expanding our lives so that we can offer the most excellent offering that we possibly can to God. Because I don't know about you, but I know my God is a glorious God, isn't he? And I want to give him the best Bill Blair that I can give him. And it's my prayer that I will never be satisfied with where I am on a given day, but I will always want to be a better person tomorrow. So we started the year by talking about expanding our lives by beating procrastination, because procrastination is something that really keeps us from being all that we can be. So we wanted to get right on that one right out of the gate, because we didn't want to put that one off, right? Beating procrastination. And then, of course, we did achieving a healthy self-respect last week. Pastor Kathy Elguine told you about how you were created in the image of God, knit together in your mother's womb, how you are a precious soul, how important your life is, and that you need to have a healthy ego, understanding that the same is true about other people that God created. And so we don't consider ourselves greater than others. We know that everybody is worthy. Life is a precious gift, and we're so grateful for that life. And then today we're talking about expanding our minds. This is an important sermon, I believe, because this sermon has an awful lot to do with how our entire lives are. Because, as you know, if you have your life, if you're not thinking right, you're not going to live right. I mean, the way we think is everything. The Bible says, as a person thinks within himself, so he becomes. And so I really wanted to look at this message today. We know that, so, you know, as your mind is a garden, isn't it? And your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. And it really depends on what's going on in here, what kind of a life you live. So this morning, I want us to look at Proverbs and the ABCs of expanding the mind. So Proverbs 2, 1 through 11. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Then he guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what it is right, just, and fair. And you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you, and understanding will keep you safe. The first thing that, advance beyond bad customs. You have to get beyond the things that you've learned in this world if you're going to really gain the wisdom of God. Sometimes, this may surprise some of you, but everything the world teaches is not of God. I know this is a shock, isn't it? You probably have discovered that some of the things that Hollywood or your celebrities and your sports stars and all these different individuals or what you see on social media, it's not all true. It's not all good. And it certainly is not all helpful. But the things of God, I mean, isn't Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? So we, of course, want something from God. And so the first thing we need to recognize is that sometimes stuff in this world is just bad stuff. And we need to be careful about what we ingest. Let's read together from Romans 12. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. So there was a guy that was doing a pastor sermon to the kids and had the kids all around him, and he took out four containers, and one had cigarette smoke in, another one had chocolate, another one had alcohol, and another one had good soil. And he put a worm in each jar, and he told the children, "On next week, we're going to come back here. And in this world, you have all kinds of choices. But next week, we're going to come back. We're going to see how the different choices affect you." So the following Sunday, he pulls out the jars, and he takes off the lid, and the cigarette smoke one was dead. The alcohol one was dead, of course, and the one that in the chocolate was dead. And he opens the one with the good soil, and he says, "And see, now this one's alive." Now, what do we learn from this, boys and girls? And an old lady from the back of the church yelled out, "As long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't die of worms." Sometimes you got to think outside the box, don't you? Just because of what you've always heard may not be the case, right? I mean, sometimes you've got to think bigger and grander and other things of what the world teaches, because the world has some bad customs and some bad behaviors and some bad ideas. And we've got to first acknowledge that I need to change. If you don't, you'll be like the people in Romans who thought themselves to be wise and they became fools. In Romans 1, you know the scripture. When you think you know it all and you're just operating what you know, instead of looking outside the box and looking for the things of God, because we're in a world that is fallen, and this world teaches us bad things. Solomon understood that he needed to ask God for wisdom. As you know, King Solomon was a great king. I mean, no king has ever had the glorious stuff that King Solomon had. Have you ever read about the temple that Solomon built? I mean, the temple was coated with gold. The entire interior of the temple was coated with gold. This is how rich and powerful he became. But this Solomon, when he came to his throne, his father, King David, had died. And God came to him and he said, "You can ask for whatever you want. What would you like, Solomon?" And Solomon said, "Give me wisdom that I might know how to rule over these people." And God says to Solomon, he says, "Solomon, because you have asked for wisdom so that you might rule over my people well, I'm going to give you wisdom. And I'm going to give you these other things as well." It's much like what Jesus said, right? When Jesus said, you know, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you." And it's so important that we get this in our heads, that we understand that sometimes everything that I learned in life may not be right. And I need to seek the scriptures and understand the things of God so that I might make a most excellent offering to God of who I am. If you have ever wanted a better life, you know, the life you've always wanted comes through transforming your mind through scriptures. It does not just happen by reading the newspaper or watching the news or paying attention to social media. You are not going to be transformed in your mind until you get into scripture and prayer and understanding the things of God, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and all wisdom comes through him, and everything else is a cheap imitation. And until we realize this, we'll never get it. You know, I ran into a Barna study a couple years back, and I never forgot this, that there are 70 to 75%, somewhere in that range, I can't remember exactly, but it's either 70 or 75, that of church-going Christians who believe that the Bible says that God helps those who help themselves. That is Ben Franklin. That is not in the scripture. What does the scripture say? The scripture says you always have your poor among you and help them. The Bible tells us constantly to help the poor. God does not just help those who help themselves. He expects us to help those who can help themselves. Everyone's not as fortunate as you and I, right? And that's why we do the things at this church that we do, like the food pantry and the food basket and the mission trips and all the different things that we do, because we're blessed people. I could tell you, someone who just came back from Mexico, you know, I love the people there. They were incredible, hardworking, humble, grateful. Everywhere we went, they were so polite to us. When we'd go out and we'd preach at these different places, and they would stand patiently waiting, as hungry as they were, as bad luck as they were. They would stand there patiently waiting and just sucking in everything that we had to say. Everywhere we went, people would give their life to Christ. It was just amazing. I thought to myself, oh, man, how much better it would be if we all recognize we need to learn something. Because we, have, as Americans, we have so much, and we're so blessed in so many ways. I got back from Mexico just driving across the border. It's amazing the difference that happens in 5 minutes from one side of the border to the other side of the border. How blessed we are. We are given so much. We have so much. God has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. And because he's blessed us so much, we think, hey, I'm doing okay. I don't need to learn anything. But until we realize we have something to learn, and that's really B, right? Begin asking God. I mean, until we begin asking God for wisdom, we're not going to have wisdom. And that, so once we realize I need wisdom, that everything I know is not always the best, then I realize I need to ask God for wisdom. Have you ever noticed that some people are just blank? I know that sounds kind of crass the way I said that, but it's true. Some people just seem blank. You know why a lot of people are blank? James gives us the answer. They do not have because they do not ask. They do not have because they do not ask. The truth is, hardly anyone uses much of our brains. That's reality. Most people can do way, way, way better than we do. We're only accessing a small percentage of our brains. And if we ask God, God will let us explore those other dimensions of our brain. And we need to ask for it. Let's read this. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. He will not resent you asking. You know, it's like, why do we think we shouldn't ask God for wisdom? God wants us to be wise. He was so happy that Solomon asked for wisdom. He said, because you did this, I'm going to give this to you. This was a good request. So many times our prayers are just, God, give me prosperity, give me health, give me this, give me that. And God says, why don't you ask for something that does good for others? God wants to honor this. Didn't Jesus say, you know, who among you evil fathers, if your children ask for bread, would you give them a serpent? He says, ask for good things. God will happily give it to you. He will not resent you asking. So we need to acknowledge, I need to ask for wisdom so that I can think outside this big box. When I was living in Titusville, I learned about Colonel Drake. Have you ever heard of Colonel Drake? Colonel Drake is the one that discovered oil. And what happened is, they were putting, people would collect oil off of the oil creek. There's this, like a river that runs through there, and it has oil that floats on that river. And Colonel Drake kept looking at all these people gathering oil off of the river and said, huh, there might be oil under the ground. And he was the first one to dig a well. And, of course, the rest of the story is told, right? Or you think of Wilbur and Orville Wright, who, when everybody was riding horses, they were bicycle mechanics, and they started thinking, maybe we can make this bike fly. And because of that, I could fly out of Mexico yesterday and be here today. Because somebody thought outside the box and started seeking God and asking for wisdom. And the same is very much the case with the Wright brothers, who were divinity people on their own right. Sometimes we just need to seek God and ask God, help me. Help me to understand this. Reveal it to me. And we would be amazed at what God would reveal to us if we really sought God. You know, we reach plateaus and we think, I made it now. Don't ever think that. Don't ever come to a place where you think that you made it. Jesus said we must come to God like a child. And children can be annoying, can't they? Because we're always like, why, right? And we must constantly be saying, why, how, teach me, God, show me, so that we can be like the children, so that God can reveal to us and we can continue going to higher ground so that we might indeed offer a much better offering to God. The next thing we need to do is concentrate on higher ground, because God wants us on higher ground. And in this world, it's a fallen world. And so if you just learn from a fallen world, this may not surprise you. You might fill your whole mind with darkness. And that's why we're told this in Philippians 4:8. Let's read it together. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Boy, that's a refrigerator verse right there. You take that baby home, put it on your refrigerator. You need to remember that one. Because here's the deal. Our minds have incredible abilities to learn. Oh, my goodness, are we amazing instruments, huh? I mean, I just think our minds are just a miracle, an absolute miracle, what a human mind can think. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever tried to go into the depths of your mind and think, well, how do I even think those things? How does this happen? It's an amazing thing stuck up there. Those little gray cells are just impressive, aren't they? And they learn all the time. Will had his baby with him down in Mexico. Poor family. Their entire family got sick while we were there. I just felt so sorry for them. But in spite of being sick, their little boy is now bilingual. He's just beginning to discover language, and he was putting together Spanish words faster than the adults. Because we have this incredible ability to learn. Now, we also know that we can even acquire new tastes. When we were little, we didn't want to eat vegetables, right? We had to be forced to eat our vegetables. I don't want to eat vegetables, yuck, right? And then we found out they're good for you. And as adults, we're like, hey, I want to live well and long, and I want to eat my vegetables. I don't like them. So we held our nose, and we ate our vegetables until we learned to like them, right? And now it's like, oh, man, I want a good salad. Pass the beans, right? You know, we want our vegetables now because we acquired a taste. God gave us that ability so we can enjoy life and make the most out of life no matter where we find ourselves living. Now, in a fallen world, here's what happens. You get raised in a home where someone tells you you're nothing. You're stupid. You can't do that. You can't do this. You're a piece of trash. You're raised in a home like that, or the kids at school tell you you're nothing. You're dumb. And you start believing this stuff. And you start learning that in your mind. And I can tell you as a pastor, I've experienced people like this. People that I can tell in talking to them, they're brighter than they think they are. They could do more than they think they are doing. And I look at them and I think, oh my gosh, if you could just know who you really are. And I have seen people have wonderful victories over this stuff too. And that's the good news of this, isn't it? People who are raised in those kind of homes, people who are abused by their parents or grandparents or an uncle or whatever the case may be, or by the kids at school, and they start to church and they start reading the promises of God, and they realize, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They realize that a Savior died on a cross because of the value that God put in them, and they say, I am not a waste of flesh. I am made in the image of a living God. And I have had people that, I remember one guy named Earl, he would always call me on the phone, and he would say, it's just Earl. And I said, Earl, you are not just Earl. You are a child of the King. And he started saying, hi, this is a child of the King. And I started seeing him change. I'm telling you, when we start seeing ourselves in the light that God sees us, we start changing. Last week you had a sermon about this very thing, that God knit you together in your mother's womb. He wasn't wasting his time. He was making a precious jewel, is what he was doing. And when we realized that, we could get past this garbage that someone told us somewhere along the way, or whoever picked on us or ran us down. And I've seen victory after victory after victory, and that's why I remain a pastor and work hard on my sermons, because I believe this matters so much. It changes lives when people believe the truths of God. And when they believe the lies of humanity, they do not have life abundant. It is so important what we do here. You have no idea what's going on in the people's lives around you. You have no idea the pain, the hurt, the things that have been said to them, the hurts that have come along the way, the acts of injustice that have happened. And they're here in victory today. They are here in victory. And they're going to keep getting victories because they believe the promises and the truths of God's word. Deliberately exercise your mind is a very important next step. And boy, we've got to believe this one. We've got to work it and work it and work it. I mean, unless we work it, we're not going to gain the knowledge that we can have. And that means working it in many ways. You know, going back to the last point a little bit, just knowing that I've got to work against these lies that were told. That's why I said put Philippians 4:8 on your refrigerator. Put promises of God on your refrigerator. Read them and know them. exercise your mind in these truths. Exercise them constantly. But this also, more practically speaking, is also true on everything that we learn. Because when we exercise our minds gets fed more oxygen, it makes more connections, and it is amazing. We have seen scientifically that children that sit in front of a TV too much do not create as many connections in their brain as kids who play computer games or play outside. Now, isn't that amazing? God has given us an ability to learn. Let's read it together. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It is painful. But afterward, there will be a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So we had the orchestra playing here this morning at the traditional service. So at the end of the service, I said, just curious, how many of you were forced to practice your instruments when you were kids? They all raised their hands. My daughter plays piano incredibly well. She's a music major. But I tell you, the whole time she was young, it was like, go practice your piano. She said, I don't want to practice my piano. We told her, practice your piano, and you're going to thank us for making you practice someday. So at her senior recital, she put it in the bulletin, the time has come. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for making me practice. Discipline isn't fun. These disciplines that we have to go through and make ourselves do things, but exercising that mind is really important. You know, you go into care homes, and you'll see puzzles set up around the areas, the public areas, so that the people there will come and work on those puzzles because it helps the brain stay alert. I have seen 90-year-olds and octogenarians sitting there working on Sudoku puzzles and crossword puzzles, living well because they keep exercising their minds. This is so important. Exercising our minds is everything. Let me just tell you a little personal story about myself when I started preaching. You know, I was 29 years old when I started college and 35 when I finally finished college and seminary and started to preach. And I went into that thinking, I've been read to by sermons and that bored me. And I don't want to bore people, so I'm not going to read sermons. And I figured what I'm going to do is I am going to practice and work on it and work on it until I can preach without reading. Well, let me tell you, that was not easy. This doesn't look as easy as it's not as easy as it looks, okay? I remember practicing. I would write my sermon in a manuscript, and then I'd make up notes. And I would practice those notes and practice those notes. I would go over my sermon like 5 times in those early days, practicing and practicing. Guess what? Now I make up my notes, look at it once on Saturday night or Sunday morning, and come in and preach. Now I believe that God has made new brain connections in my mind as I exercised it. I want you to think about whatever your skill set is. Whether you drive a bus or you teach or whatever it is. Have you gotten better at it after you did it for a while? You watch a pianist and you think, how do they know where all those keys are? How do they find them so fast? Years of practice. Years of discipline and training the mind. So you set your goal, baby. What kind of life do you want to have? Do you want to do great things? You work at it. Discipline your mind and get to the place where you want to be, because God can do it. And finally, you need to elucidate with excellent actions, because we remember so little of what we hear. I pray every week, please, when they leave that church, will they please put it into action? Because I know if you put it into action, you're going to own it. But if you just hear me talk about it, I'm going to show you something that's going to shock you. Not many of you have seen this in your education. A lecture, you just had a bit of a lecture. We remember 5%. That's scary as a pastor, let me tell you. Reading, 10%. You ever wonder why I put the scriptures up on the outlines? Huh? Demonstration. When you see something done, why we do videos and pictures and all this, trying to illustrate a little bit, right? Discussion groups. Have you heard me beg you to get in a small group somewhere along the way? 50% of what you learn in a discussion group, you're going to own. 50%. I mean, that's astonishing. 5% of what you hear in a sermon, 50% of what you hear in a small group. And we wonder why the church that thinks that it's an hour of power once a week, and that's a whole Christian life, we wonder why the church isn't doing so well in America. It takes more than an hour of power, friends. It takes more. Discussion group, practice by doing. You're going to remember 75% of it. So if you go out of here today and say, I'm going to start doing a word puzzle every single day to keep my brain sharp. I'm going to start reading more to get my brain sharp. You're going to learn 75%. Teaching others. And this is the crazy part. How many times have you heard teachers and professors say, I learn more than anybody in the class? Because when you start teaching it, you learn more. And this is why you should be teaching. How many times do you have to get milk and meat and bread and everything else till you start teaching? You need to sign up to teach the kids something so you can own this stuff. Because when you think it and do it, you own it. This is why Jesus was a genius. Think about what he did. He called people to him in crowds and he gave great lectures, told parables. He would get down, he'd write in the dirt and demonstrate. Then he would get up and he'd say, Now there are poor among you. You go and serve them. And, by the way, before I leave, let me just remind you this. Go and make disciples, teaching them everything that I've commanded you. Jesus was a genius, of course. And when we start doing it like Jesus, we're going to learn a lot more. Our brains will develop. We'll make connections. We will learn truths and wisdom and the things of God. And that's really why you all came here this morning, right? You wanted to grow closer in your relationship to God. You wanted to celebrate who God is. You wanted to bring an excellent offering to God. And this has been your opportunity. And I'm glad that you're here. And can I just say this to the teachers and professors among us? And whether you're a Sunday school teacher or a school teacher, can I just say thank you? Thank you for what you're doing. When I was in Mexico, we went out to a garbage dump. There at the garbage dump, there were scores of people working over here and scores of people over there and over here. And they live in little huts right there on the garbage dump. They gather together sticks and plastic and anything they can find, and they build a little hut. And whole families living in a little hut on top of the garbage dump. They don't bury the garbage. They just back in, dump it off, and build it up on a field. And there are people that work that garbage dump all day. And when the garbage trucks arrive, they're there to sort through the garbage to try to find the bottles, the plastic bottles and glass bottles, and they put them into containers. And they get $2 for one of those plastic boxes, about that high, 4x4 box. Saw one guy dragging a CRM TV, the old-fashioned TV, dragging it by the cord out across the garbage dump. He had a treasure. And I said to the guy that was taking us, he said, why do they end up here? He said, these people are people that only have 1 or 2 years of education in elementary school, and they can't get a regular job. And so this is how they get by. They always say, you teach someone to fish, you feed them. I mean, you give someone a fish, you feed them for a day, you teach them to fish, you feed them for a lifetime. That's why I believe this sermon is so important, that if you take this home and you own it, you put it in your mind, you work it, I believe great things could come of this message. And I want to thank the teachers and professors who teach regularly and show people how they can make a living and do well in this life. And I want to thank you as Christian parents who brought your kids here today to be taught so that they might be in a small group back there learning the things of God. You're making a world of difference in those kids' lives. You don't even realize what a difference you're making. You're making a tremendous difference. And I want to thank you for what you're doing for the next generation, because we're all in this together, trying to get wise. Boy, do we ever need to. So, will the band come and lead us in worship? Let's pray. Our Lord God, we come to you again very grateful for the education that we have, and especially for the Christian education that you have afforded us. We're very grateful that we know that we're not garbage. We're very grateful that we know that we're not a cosmic accident, but we are created by a living, incredible God. And we praise you, God, for seeing fit to make us and to make us the way that you made us, to give us these minds that can be taught and trained and retrained and renewed. We thank you, God, for what you've done for America, because of people who came to this country seeking religious freedom, that they might just worship you freely. And we know your blessing is on this country because of that. But we also know that if we forget the Lord our God who brought us into this promised land, if we forget the things and the knowledge of God, that we will lose our way. And this wonderful thing that we have could be lost. And we pray that that would not happen. We pray that you would raise up great churches and great teachers and great leaders who will lead us into all truth and righteousness, that we might find wisdom from above. Because, Lord, we are at a crossroads here in America where we just don't know which end is up, and truth has become lies, good has become bad, bad's become good. Nobody knows what to think. But, Lord, we know. We know that your truths never die. That you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you are the wisdom of the ages. And we ask for that wisdom today for us. We also pray for safety for our missions team as they fly and as they drive back from the airport. We thank you, God, for your blessing on that trip. We would ask that you would help them to not bring any diseases back into Indiana, that they would come back well and healthy. And we ask, God, your blessing on some that are here, people who are facing tests or people with weak legs that makes it difficult to even come out. Lord, we pray for them. We pray for those who are fighting through even cancer. We pray, God, your mercy and blessing on particular good friend that we have among us. Lord, we pray your blessing on him, that you would bring healing, and that we would get good news through all these tests and treatments. Lord, we pray for those who find themselves in tough spots today. Lord, bless them. We lift them up before you and ask God to pour out your blessing on each one. In Christ's matchless name. Now lead us as we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will you please stand and join the band in worship?